Kink 101 is proud to present Deviant Discussions, where kinksters come together and put the why in kink. With Diavol Diablo, Subtle Shadow, and Glass Girl, this is Deviant Discussions.
Hey guys, how are you?
Good, good, good.
Tired. Good, good. Yep.
Awesome. You know,
it's early here.
I am taking my lunch break from work and recording a podcast because, you know, it's more exciting than what I do as a day job. So, although if my employer is listening, don't believe a word of that. But yeah, okay. So today it was really just a quick catch up with you guys. I wanted to get your opinion on something. I realized from reading a lot of people's accounts that, you know, kink shaming is something that's pretty prevalent, both in and out of the kinkster lifestyle. I think there's, you know, like a lack of empathy, personal biases, or generally just misconceptions. Like, I know how much poor information is out there, and that's exactly the kind of thing that we're trying to overcome and fix, I suppose, with Kink 101. And I think they're the biggest culprits that lead to the kink shaming that we've probably all experienced at some time or another. So I wanted to get your opinions on A, whether you've experienced it and how it made you feel, and how you overcome things like that, because I imagine a lot of newcomers and veteran lifestylers probably still experience kink shaming, and it might be helpful for them.
Well, as someone who, you know, engages in DDLG and caregiver dynamics, I've experienced a lot of kink shaming, especially as a writer who writes to that type of erotica. You know, when I would post to the site FetLife, I would get messages in my inbox that were shaming me for what I had written, comments on my stories. The people who really just don't understand what DDLG is.
And what kind of things would they say?
That I was creepy, that I was disgusting.
I love the irony there of you're the creepy one for writing it, but when someone sends you messages saying, hey, come and talk to daddy, it's not creepy at all.
Right.
That I was disturbed, that I had daddy, that I have daddy issues.
I think that's a pretty common one, yeah.
So annoying.
It is, especially when I think it's, you know, not to get all feminist on you, but I think it's interesting that, you know, women are, even with daddy issues, women are blamed for the behavior of their fathers.
Yep.
Or having trauma from them. So anyway. Mm. But yeah, kink shaming, especially, but kink shaming in the DDLG community is really, really common.
Yeah. It's funny you say that. I actually had never... So I've been on FetLife for probably about, a little over 2 years at this point. And I post a lot of erotica, right? And I've never posted anything related to DDLG until recently. I posted just a thing about being a little with a daddy. And it was the first time I'd ever received a message that was just incredibly disturbing. Age play that, you know, I didn't ask for, and that my erotica wasn't even about age play. And, you know, I'd seen all these different screenshots people post of just the horrid things that people will say, in these private messages. And I don't know, it kind of hit me in that moment, you know, being on there for so long before someone sent me something so like, just like it disturbed me for probably most of the day, kind of shook me. I was like, oh, okay. So this is what everyone in the DDLG community is talking about.
Do you think that, like, I suppose it's not necessarily kink shaming, but having that kind of predatory behavior based on one of your kinks or something that you write about, if it's not necessarily one of your kinks, but you've written about it, do you think that kind of creates a sense of shame within yourself? So in the same way that you can be ashamed by kink shaming, like someone just hunting you down because of one of your kinks, it's like the opposite of kink shaming, but also it creates this sense of shame within you.
I think it's a subset of kink shaming. That's an interesting idea. I think that I personally didn't feel any shame when this person reached out to me. It was more like a sense of indignation and feeling offended. Like, who the fuck do you think you are? Like, and
I think that most of the time someone messages me.
Right. And it's almost like the fact that they assumed I was into, they were not talking about age play. They were talking about, you know, pedophilia, like that I would be that type of person, to me is almost like, you know, with kink shaming, you're being, your integrity or like your morals or your ethics are being threatened, right? They're saying, oh, you're so fucked up for wanting that. You're so whatever, like you need to go see a shrink or whatever. But this person is saying kind of along the same lines, like you're so into that. So that must mean that you are X, you know?
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Definitely.
So it's, yeah. So like with kink shaming, I think like, the person who's doing it is making assumptions based on false data or false, you know, they're just making false assumptions and going off of stereotypes. And those kind of direct messages, I think, are doing the same thing, just under the guise of, hey, let's engage in this activity that you surely must like since you like DDLG, you know?
Yeah. And that goes along with the misconceptions of DDLG that everyone is into age play or that it is pedophilia. I mean, it's one of the reasons why I don't write DDLG anymore.
Yeah. And that's a shame because, you know, if it's something that you loved and you've been shamed to that degree that it's no longer a pleasure for you anymore, it's no longer an enjoyable, like, even if it was just a hobby and not necessarily what, you know, you, if you were to make money off it or anything like that, I think the fact that people have that power over you is horrible. But it kind of, it always makes me laugh at the ethos of your kink is not my kink and that's okay. Because I don't actually really know that many people that subscribe to that. Like, so many people are hypocritical as fuck. Like,
oh yeah,
they'll stand there and be like, oh yeah, you must follow the your kink is not my kink, but then they'll sit there and shame somebody over their kinks. And it's like, well, you know, you got to practice what you preach, really. And I know that I have shamed people in the past because I didn't understand things, and I've worked really, really hard to try and overcome that. And it still happens sometimes, you know, if you don't understand something, the way that you voice that not understanding, or, you know, you don't have the level of experience or things like that. Or sometimes it can just be shock if it's dropped upon you. Like if you're with a partner and it suddenly turns out that they're into something and you're a little bit, you know, not into that, you can respond in a way that makes them feel ashamed of opening up about it. But it's not necessarily like malicious kink shaming. And I've done that as well, just because it was unexpected. But similarly, had it happened to me as well, where I've, you know, started speaking about something that I was into or curious about, and my partner at the time has been like, ew.
That sucks.
Yeah, but I think, you know, it's one of those, like, it just, you have to time it well. And we've already spoken before about, you know, coming out kinky and things. And I think that's an ongoing thing. Like, it's not just the first time that you open up about being kinky. It's when you decide that you want to explore something new, don't just, like, you know, drop the bombshell while you're cooking dinner and things like that, because there's a time and a place. And Dee Dee's not very good at picking the time and the place, I'll be honest. So.
Oh, no, I'm not either. And I may have mentioned this in the coming out kinky, I can't recall. That the only kink shaming I can ever remember feeling was when I didn't have the language for CNC. And so, which is consensual non-consent.
I can and imagine so, how this goes.
So it was with my first boyfriend, and we were into rough sex. Like, we did a lot of kind of, you know, rougher things, dirty talk, that kind of thing. But I was still not identifying as kinky or anything like that. And I just told him, I want you to rape me, like, you know, and I didn't know how else to say it. He reacted very poorly. understandably so. And, you know, I think in my memory wants to say that he had this very intense reaction, but in actuality, I sometimes wonder if what really happened was that I was so embarrassed that I had asked, that maybe I was actually kink shaming myself. You know,
I was like, just about to say that. Yeah.
And I think he may have just been like, I can't do that or something like that. And automatically I was like, oh my God, I'm so like humiliated. Of course he can't do that. You know,
I think as well, it's interesting when we shame ourselves for the kinks that we don't have. I know that I have at the moment.
Oh, interesting.
I have a big issue with it at the moment, that there is something that my partner wants to do, and I don't understand their motivation for it. I don't understand how to do it, I suppose. Like, I can't compute the logistics in my brain. Mm. And I have managed to make myself upset by the fact that I'm not doing this thing that they'd like to try, that I'm almost shaming myself for not having a kink or not being able to do something. And it's absolutely no fault of my partner. They're not putting any mm-hmm. pressure on at all. But I just make myself feel fucking terrible for not being able to do this thing that they want to do.
Ugh, that's
so I
hard.
Wonder if there is kink shaming in like an active sense, and there's kink shaming in like a reverse psychological sense as well.
Yeah. Hmm.
So what do you think that someone should do if they experience kink shaming? Like, is it one of these that you argue the toss and fight fire with fire, and just whoever screams the loudest is the one that's right at the end? Or should you speak up about it at all, or talk to other kinksters? You know, what do you think is the best way of dealing with kink shaming?
I try and address it when I see it. But it also depends on the person. Like, I can usually tell if they're going to be open to the discussion or if it's just going to become heated, which happens a lot on FetLife. So I kind of judge accordingly. If it's, and you know, especially if they're new, it might just be like not having the education. But if I feel like it's going to be a pile on, or if it's a group of people that are saying it, I tend to just ignore it and not engage, because mm-hmm. I don't think that they're open to actually learning about the kink at all. They've already decided that it's gross and there's a problem with it.
Yeah. Anything on social media is going to be difficult for sure. People become a lot more emboldened when they're nice and safe behind their computer screen. For me, I think I really try to be patient, like Glass was saying. And I try to remember that I've been fascinated lately by how we as human beings, like our mind, once we've made our mind up about something, we will dig our heels in, even if presented with the facts, you know, of something. We're like, nope, nope, it's this way, it's not that way. And I think that it can sometimes be that way when you're trying to explain a kink to somebody else who isn't into it. Like, yeah. I cannot fathom trying to explain S&M to my parents. Like, they would just be like, that they would probably want to commit me. Like, they would think I was insane. And at some point you just kind of have to give up, you know, or not give up, but like, kind of almost choose your battles and recognize that some people are going to think things. And what it boils down to is ultimately how you care about yourself. So like, if, and understanding that somebody's opinion of you doesn't create who you are. Definitely. So somebody could say, oh, you're like just this, you know, crazy broken woman who wants men to tell her what to do. And okay, sure. I mean, like, there's, for me, it's like, yeah, well, like for me, it's an empowering activity and nothing is going to change that no matter what you say. There was a time in my life where somebody saying something like that probably would have impacted me. And in fact, it did, because I wasn't kinky, or I wasn't owning my kinks until about, you know, two or three years ago. So it takes a lot of, it takes a lot of self-care to withstand kink shaming, I think.
Oh,
you just have to be very, very cognizant of avoiding conversations where you know that you're going to end up feeling like shit, and maybe like surrounding yourself, or if you have a really negative experience, talking to other kinksters or like-minded people about what you went through, because pretty much everyone, I think, in the kink world has experienced kink shaming at some point.
Definitely. And if they haven't yet, they're probably going to before the end of time.
Oh, without a doubt.
I mean, I find sometimes that if you have, you know, like that seed of doubt about one of your kinks, that kind of, it makes you more susceptible to being shamed for it, because I don't know if people can like fucking smell weakness or fear or whatever. but like sometimes if I've been unsure about a kink that I've, you know, been looking to explore or whatever, I find that I don't know if it's just that I'm interpreting it more as a kink shaming, or I just am more aware of it because I've already got those doubts in my mind. But, you know, I do find sometimes that if you're ashamed of your own kinks, then the kink shaming will find you. Whereas if you are, like you say, cognizant and you're confident, I suppose, in the kinks that you've got, you kind of, it's water off a duck's back.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. Well, and I find that, you know, there's certain, you know, mainstream kinks that are considered more acceptable, like in quotes, than others. But even then, you know, when you think about S&M, like masochism and sadism, there's even varying degrees, right? And if it goes too far, again, in quotes, then people are shamed for that. Like if it looks like it's too intense, or, mm-hmm. you know, they're into, you know, not just open-handed slaps, but, you know, fists and punching or, mm-hmm. and, you know, or black eyes, that kind of thing. And then you see people shaming for that. And it's just, and they might be into S&M themselves, but they've decided that that's too extreme, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
I think people put themselves into that scene, they're thinking, oh, I would never do that. That's not okay. I would feel unsafe. Instead of thinking that the other person has agency and consented, and you know, a photo on the internet does not show the care, time, discussion, planning mm-hmm. that went into that.
Mm-hmm. Very much so. And that touches on something interesting that I'd be curious to talk about with you both, get your perspective. Is kink shaming within the world of kink, like kinksters shaming other ones? And especially, I guess just the topic has been on my mind lately. It seems to come around every once in a while on social media, is the relationship between like a super young woman and a really old man on, and having that be those wide age gaps be a kink. And at what point does something go from being kink shaming to simply just stating the facts of a situation, I guess? And is there a line, you know, like, so a lot of people would argue, okay, if an 18-year-old is dating like a 50-year-old guy, there's something wrong with both of those people. And that's, I personally don't agree with that. But I also understand the fact that's like, you know, irrefutable that an 18-year-old's brain is not fully developed yet until they reach age 24 or 25, I think. And so, yeah, so for me, there's like that gray space of where something goes from being kink shaming to, or if there is a line, do you know what I'm trying to say?
Kind of, yeah. Do you mean like, yeah. Where's the line between kink shaming and just like a difference of moral opinion?
Kind of, but
You're thinking like, are you thinking, where's the difference between kink shaming and looking out for someone?
Yeah. And also, is looking out for somebody a form of kink shaming? Because it's there, like, again, it raises a question of agency again, right? Like, is an 18-year-old capable of making a decision to date a 50-year-old?
Well, I think that kind of ties into the idea of consent. Like, have they ever asked you to watch out for them? Because if they haven't, then they're not consenting to that. So you're invading their privacy.
Yeah.
I mean, if someone had said to me, like, I mean, there's a big age gap between me and one of my very special people, a significant age gap. And there have been people that have said, you know, do you not feel weird about that? And I'm like, well, no. Their age is their age. Like, I can't help that I met them when I was this age and they were that age. Like, if we could have met when they were 35, that would have been awesome. But, you know, I think if I'd said to somebody, you know, look, I'm concerned about this person being so much older than me. Like, can I talk to you about it and give me some pointers? Then fair enough. You know, I've asked for their opinion. But if I haven't asked for their opinion, get your fucking nose out.
Interesting. Do you think then that maybe kink shaming is not minding your own business?
Well, I think kink shaming, oh my God, in today's society, I think a lot of it is just people looking for an argument, because everybody, especially on FetLife, seems to be looking for an argument. And one of the easiest ways to do that is to pick something that someone's written and be like, you're fucked up for liking this. And they might have kinks that other people are like, you're fucked up for liking this. And then it's just like one big chain reaction. But at the same time, I've got to say that one of the things that I'm most commonly shamed for is for the fact that I am a kinkster that doesn't just go and, like, you know, have sex with whoever, and I don't casually play. Like, that's my biggest thing that I get shamed for, is that I don't do like pickup play or anything. I don't just run. Oh yeah, 100%. I had one yesterday. Yeah, and people are just like, why are you on this website if you're not willing to meet up with people? And I'm like, to network? And because I have friends? Like, why are you on here if you're not getting any action? Fuck off. But yeah, like, that's the biggest one. I get kink shamed for actually being a kinkster, but, you know, not a slut, I guess. It's like the opposite of slut shaming. I'm shamed for not being a slut. So I think a lot of it is difference of opinion that becomes almost violent in its outpouring. But I think also people are just always looking for an argument.
I also think that people take their own, can often take their own triggers, their own trauma, their own kind of history.
Insecurities and things like that, definitely.
Yeah, and apply it to someone else. They project, basically, right? And I think that's a major problem, or a major reason why there's a lot of kink shaming, is that it's that I wouldn't do that, or that happened to me, or that, you know, 50-year-old took advantage of me when I was 18, so this must be happening to them, right? Mm-hmm. Whereas we don't know what's happening in that relationship or who those two people are. I mean, there can be a 50-year-old predator, yes. There can be a 20-year-old predator, right? I mean, there isn't an age where, or an age gap or an age range.
And equally, that 18-year-old could be the predator in the relationship.
Absolutely. Yep. So there isn't an age range where you're suddenly safe, or an age gap, or, there's no set in stone. Like, if this person's this age and this person's that age, then there's going to be no problems, right? Or there's no concern.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Did we actually answer your question there, Shadow?
I don't know what my question was, to be honest. Like, I think it addressed it was less of a question, I suppose, and more of just an observation that I think that we've covered some of the nuances of how and why kinksters within the community might shame that kind of kink.
I tend to look at it as like a yellow flag, not a red flag for someone, you know, just, but again, that would be for me personally.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think that's another good point, right? Like, I think sometimes kink shaming is confused with if somebody just happens to not like the same thing as you, but they're respectful about it, or else they're just like, not my thing, you know.
You that's mean not kink shaming. Your kink is not my kink, and that's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, like, but people, so first of all, kink shaming is not a kink. I'll get that out of the way. But then also, I think people, just because somebody disagrees with you, that doesn't mean they're kink shaming you, I guess. Or like if their personal experience is different, it doesn't mean that they're kink shaming you. Like, unless there's like an active, I don't know, maybe we should define kink shaming. What do y'all think?
I think it's really subjective, but I think if, to me, like I would see it, if someone is being malicious about my preferences and trying mm-hmm. to make me feel bad for them or make me feel guilty for them, then they are attempting to kink shame me. But, you know, it's not a universal thing. Like you say, kink shaming is not a kink, but other people would argue that it is a kink. And I think in the way that you can, like, you know, make a kink out of almost anything, I think you can make kink shame about almost anything as well.
Yeah. I guess when I say kink shaming isn't a kink is that I think, much like you said, malicious. So the intention behind the comment to me is what makes it shaming or not. So if someone is like reacts in surprise to something that you might be into, you personally may take that as kink shaming. And those feelings are valid, but at the same time, like, at least for me, I try to, think about, okay, why is this person, is that genuine surprise or is it disgust? Or am I like projecting a feeling of shame onto them about this based on their reaction? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But when I say kink shaming isn't a kink, I'm thinking of kink shaming as if you have malicious intent about something, I think that you're intentionally you're doing something without the consent of the other person. And if we're going to base kinks on consensual activities, and that's how we're going to define kink in some form or fashion, then it's impossible for kink shaming to be a kink. If that would be like violating consent as a kink, which if we're doing, you know what I'm saying? Like if we're going to define kinks by consent alone, I guess, because we say all the time on Kink 101 that if it's not consensual, it's not a kink.
Kink shaming in a form of humiliation without malice can be a kink.
Oh, yeah. So, well, that would be like humiliation or degradation. I think it would fall under that category, right?
It would, but I suppose you would still label it as kink shaming if it's directly about, like, oh, you're such a fucked up young lady for liking X, you know, or yeah. However they word it. That would be kink shaming in a consensual setting as a form of humiliation or degradation.
Okay. Yes. That makes sense then. Well, I'm wrong then.
No, I don't think you're wrong. I think it's just one of those wonderfully gray areas, just like the rest of kink. I mean, if there were no gray areas in kink, then we wouldn't have a podcast. So
that's true.
Thanks for joining us this week. If you'd like to know more about kink and BDSM, or if you have your own adventure to share, please visit kink101.com. That's kynk101.com. Because we put the Y in kink.